南無妙法蓮華経。南無妙法蓮華経。Okay, rolling. Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. Sifu Sylvain with you. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you're in good health and secure. I'm in a strange mood this morning. Welcome. Let's talk some truth to power. Those corporate entities calling themselves religious, real mysticism of your mind. Pah! We are Buddhists. I don't buy into all that mimetic baloney. I caution you, today's video may be a strange one. But we will nonetheless be talking truth to power. As our mentor Nichiren certainly has been setting the record straight, telling these self-appointed heroes of Buddhism that their particular opinions and takes and additional mysticism not required. In fact, not welcome. Because if you just read the scholarship of Buddhism from Shakyamuni himself, all those baloney artists exposed, the emperor's naked, you're parading him down the street like he's clothed, poor guy, humiliated, so stupid. This is what I get for watching a GHS pedal video before I do this. His sense of humor, so dry. All right, let's get serious. We are still reading from the Selecting the Right Time, Gosho, one of the major writings of Nichiren. And we've gone through several eloquent, scholarly built debates, really. Why, the justification for why the Lotus Sutra ultimately is the complete, perfect goal of Buddhism for self-practice. Not Nichiren's opinion. It is his opinion, but it's his opinion as a scholar of the opinion of the teachings themselves. In other words, this truth isn't created by Nichiren. He's just obviating it. How are you missing this? And now he's going to refute the fallacies of the three schools, which so far in this, his focus has been Pure Land, Zen, and Shingon. But let's see what he says in here. Let's start. Brahman, the boaster of India, was born wise, studied both exoteric and esoteric Buddhism, and mastered thoroughly all the books, Buddhist as well as non-Buddhist, Hindu, Jain, every religion and text, right? Therefore, both the king and his subjects bowed down to him. He was the foremost scholar. And all the people looked up to him as their teacher. Self-conceited, though, he talked to himself. Quote, those respected most by the people are the four sages of Mahasvara, Vasudeva, Narayana, and the Buddha. Let them be the four legs of my pulpit. End quote. Thus he made their statues the four legs of his pulpit on which he preached. This is just the same as present-day Shingon priests, performing ceremonies while sprinkling water on the head and sitting on a mandala with Shakyamuni Buddha and all other Buddhas drawn on it. It is also the same as Zen priests who boast that theirs is the school of Buddhism which steps on the head of the Buddha. They're so superior. Then there appeared commentator Bhadraruchi, a young priest, insisting on chastising Brahman, the boaster. However, the king, his subjects, and all the people all would not listen to him. Instead, they incited the disciples and followers of the boaster to speak ill of Bhadraruchi and beat him up on a countless number of trumped-up charges. Nevertheless, Bhadraruchi continued his accusations at the risk of his life. Annoyed, the king tried to silence him in debate, but it was Brahman, the boaster, who was silenced. Looking up to heaven and throwing himself on the ground, the king lamented, quote, "I was able to see this with my own eyes and get rid of my false views, but my father was completely fooled by this man. He must have fallen into the hell of incessant suffering." End quote. Holding Bhadraruchi's legs, the king shed tears of regret. Upon Bhadraruchi's suggestion, Brahman, the boaster, was put on a donkey's back and taken all over India to expose his shame. As a result, his evil heart grew rampant. He got really pissed off at that humiliation, right? And he fell alive into the hell of incessant suffering. Yeah, all that anger and lashing back out of his fears, his cowardice, right? Where was he living? In his mind, in his heart. He was in tortured hell, right? Are followers of the Shingon and Zen schools today different from this Brahman, the boaster? Ouch. You see, Nichiren's using the local folklore and the historic storytelling and applying them to today's ready events, yeah? Zen Master Sun Chai, or Xi Xing, of Sui, China, the founder of Sun Chai Buddhism, maintained, now this is the Zen Master talking, "The Lotus Sutra of Lord Shakyamuni Buddha is the teaching for the first step, the age of the true Dharma, and the second step, the age of the semblance Dharma." People copying, right? "What is needed is the third step, the latter age of degeneration, is the Fukyo General Sutra, which I wrote." I love this. I love this. The poser to the, what, the throne of Buddhism. If he's so brilliant and knows what's now ready for the people, write your own damn book and promote that. Which he's doing, but he's doing it on the head of Buddha. He's reclaiming all of Buddhist scholarship and saying, "I will tell you what Buddhism is." Okay, so the founder, the original discoverer, instantiator, manifester of Buddha, who then goes about teaching for his entire life how to do this, you, a couple thousand years later, is going to tell us, yeah, but, you know, he didn't know. I don't. I will tell you. This is Zen. Therefore, he continues, those who practice the Lotus Sutra in this world today will fall into the hell of incessant suffering in 10 directions. Why? It is because the Lotus Sutra does not fit the intelligence and the resolve of people in the latter age of degeneration. Really? That's exactly what the Lotus Sutra says. That's exactly what Shakyamuni said the Lotus Sutra was for the capacity, the capability of the minds of the people of this age to self-practice and instantiate Buddha in their minds. You and I. So who is this guy who says, nah, it won't suit the intelligence, I don't know where the qualification of how smart you are, that's different than the capacity you have to understand. Remember, the whole purpose of the discovery of Buddhism was to make it available to anyone, no matter what their state, what their economics, what their smartness, what, it didn't matter. If it's a universal truth, then it's universal. It doesn't matter if you're a lump of dirt or a highly evolved scientist. It doesn't matter. It works the same for everything. So who is this jerk who comes along and says, it's not right for, he's not saying you're stupid outright. He's just saying for whatever your intelligence is, let's take an IQ test and see if you're going to be able to understand this Buddhist thing. If you read my book, though, so convoluted and poetic and had no direct connection lead anyone to enlightenment. Oh, yeah, that's better. Because I guess by virtue of your confusing writing there, General Sutra from Zen Master Sun Chai, will be so obliterated and confused in your wordsmithing that, what are we achieving again? What? But you're superior to Buddha. Well, Buddha is what we're trying to achieve. So what are you doing? It's so incredibly egotistical and arrogant. But the Lotus Sutra does not. It does not fit. Myoho Renge Kyo, it's for deeply smart people, so I guess you're not. Oops. So Nichiren says, he strictly observed worship and repentance 6 times a day and meditation 4 times as though he were a living Buddha. He was respected by many people and had more than 10,000 disciples. People like to be led, authoritarianism. Challenged by a mere girl who had faith in the Lotus Sutra, however, Sanchai lost his voice on the spot. Later, he transformed himself into a large snake which swallowed a number of disciples, followers, girls, and virgin women. The fallacy of Shandao and Honen of the Pure Land School today, who say that not even 1 out of 1,000 will attain Buddhahood by putting his faith in the Lotus Sutra in the latter age of degeneration, is not different at all from what Sanchai said. Burn! The fallacies of these 3 schools, the Pure Land, Zen, and Shingon, have been around for so long in Japan, that it would not be easy to rectify them. Nevertheless, there may be some who would now believe in what I am propagating, have pointed them out for so long. The worst fallacy, however, is hundreds of thousands of billions times harder to believe than these. Refuting Grandmaster Chikaku, who started out as a Tendai monk. This is the worst. Constantly in Buddhism, we're reminded that if you're ignorant, you're ignorant. You don't know that you're screwing up. Like your kid. You know, kids break the law all the time. But we remonstrate. We demonstrate to them the correct way and the errors of their ways. And hopefully they learn and they improve and they avoid those mistakes and learn from them as their parents and teachers. It's our responsibility to make sure they get those lessons. This is parenting, right? But once your child learns and grows into an adult to have their own opinions, hopefully formed of those learning experiences, so they can self-correct and they know the difference between life-affirming and life-unaffirming behavior, and they go against that behavior, then their crime, their error, their sin is far more profound than if they were left to grow up on their own and never got those teaching moments, never learned the differences. They just continue being ignorant, doing stupid things. Having been corrected and practicing a correct way of living and then falling into those behaviors, far worse, right? There's a level of intent in that that is far more profound than the intent of somebody who just doesn't know what the hell they're doing. Attitude and intent, Buddhism, attitude and intent. So everybody in Japan, Nichiren starts, from the emperor down to the populace, believes that Grand Master Jikaku, the third disciple of Grand Master Dengyo, is superior to his own master. Having mastered the doctrines of both the Shingon and Lotus schools, Jikaku said that the Shingon was superior to the Lotus Sutra. What? Which 3,000 monks on Mount Hiei and all the scholars of the entire country of Japan accepted without reservation. Do you see the club building here? The belonging to being more important than the substance? We don't care what he's saying as long as he enjoys the support, the financial support, the land, the real estate support of the emperor. Yeah, we're with him. What do you mean is what he says doesn't make sense? That doesn't matter, doesn't it? Shh. Just, you know, follow along. Disciples of Kobo felt that their master might have gone too far in insisting that the Lotus Sutra was inferior to the Flower Garland Sutra. They knew. They were convinced, however, that the teaching of the Shingon school was superior to that of the Lotus Sutra, according to the interpretation of Grand Master Chikaku. Yeah, we don't know why, but yeah, he's right. The monks on Mount Hiei, among all the Buddhists in Japan, should have spearheaded a movement opposing such a heretic idea that the teaching of Shingon was superior to that of the Lotus Sutra. I mean, they're the ones responsible for this, right? But they were enjoying favor. Contrary to such a movement, Grand Master Jikaku silenced 3,000 monks on Mount Hiei, allowing the Shingon school to spread at will. So those who did raise their voices against him, he silenced them. And we can muse about how he did that. In medieval times, silencing came by way of beheading. Thus, the best friend of the Shingon Temple of Toji was none other than Grand Master Chikaku, right? He provided for them to have all of this support. Oh, we like Jikaku. Jikaku's role in relation to Shingon Buddhism was just like those played by Venerables Annen and Eshin in spreading the Zen and Pure Land schools in Japan. Same thing. Popularity contest. Even if these doctrines might spread to some other lands, they did not seem to have any chance in Japan, even in a million years, so long as the Enraku-ji Temple on Mount Hiei opposed them. Nevertheless, when Venerable Anen, the high-ranking elder of Mount Hiei, wrote the Debate on the Teaching and Time, comparing the superiority of the nine schools of Buddhism, he insisted on placing the Shingon first, the Zen school second, and the Tendai Lotus school third, and the Flower Garland school fourth. It was due to this great mistake, that's being kind, of his, that the Zen school spread all over Japan, forcing the country to the verge of destruction, and annihilating Lotus Sutra teachings. Isn't that the prediction of Shakyamuni? That in the latter age, there would be so much competition and strife and corruption in the ideas of men, that the very clear ultimate teaching of self-practice and instantiation of Buddha would drift away. It would be so corrupted, it would cease to have value. Here it is, documented. Also, it was due to the preface to the Essential Collection Concerning Rebirth in the Pure Land that Nembutsu invented document of the Tendai monk Eshin. He was a Tendai monk, but he wanted to be part of the club, right? The insider. That the Pure Land School of Honen spread all over Japan, forcing the country to face destruction. As the Buddha pointed out, parasites living in the body of a lion feed on the body of the lion. How true it is. Next chapter. Theological differences between Dengyo and Chikaku. Well, we already know this, but let's see how Nichiren is applying his argument to his modern day civilization, those in power, the elite, showing them how he's kind of giving them a way out, isn't he? He's saying, look, it's not entirely your fault. There's 100 years of corruption and stupidity that led to this point. No wonder you were fooled. Now get off of that and start doing this right. This is all Nichiren is trying to do, right? Not as easy as it sounds, evidently. Theological differences between Dengyo and Chikaku. Grandmaster Dengyo studied Tendai and Shingon's doctrines by himself for 15 years in Japan. Wise by nature, he was able to master them without anyone guiding him. Nevertheless, he went to China for further study of the Tendai and Shingon schools in order to dispel the doubts of the people. He wanted to make sure he saw what was actually happening here. Although there were variation and various opinions among Chinese scholars, the Grand Master was convinced that the teaching of the Lotus was superior to that of the Shingon. It's kind of obvious given what Nichiren has pointed out about these teachings, right? Upon returning from China, therefore, he propagated Tendai Buddhism only. He said, okay, I've learned everything there is to know about this corrupted sect that turned everything on its head for its own avarice and power. The bottom line is to Tendai school, going all the way back to Qi. He had it right. This is the Buddhism for today. This is what we should be doing. He avoided using the name of the Shingon school when he petitioned the imperial court and was granted a fellowship, which allowed him to choose annually 2 students to study and practice meditation and mantras of the Tendai school for 12 years. He knew that the Shingon presence in Japan was still very much favored by the ruling elite. So he knew his task was, unlike Nichiren, not to confront them face to face, but to slowly move them toward the right understanding of Buddhism. Moreover, receiving the imperial edict defining the Lotus Sutra, the Sutra of the Golden Splendor, and the Sutra of the Benevolent King as the three sutras for the tranquility of the nation, the Grand Master enshrined them at Shikan-in, the main hall of Enraku-ji, to be revered forever as though they were the three imperial regalias, the divine jewel, the treasured sword, and the sacred mirror enshrined in the imperial sanctuary, the most precious of all treasures in Japan. No small feat. Do you see the interrelationship between this philosophical, right, teaching of Buddhism and the power of the imperial elite? They were very entwined, so he had to be careful how he did this, but he managed to do it. And his goal, obviously, was to build on that. Let's see how we go here. During the time of Venerable Gishin, the first abbot of the Enraku-ji Temple on Mount Hiei, and Grandmaster Encho, the second abbot, these rules were unchanged. So even after Dengyo's passing, this kept going. That's such a major achievement, right? If you're an emperor, you don't change your mind on a whim. If you're going to change your mind, there has to be plenty of reasoning and support, right? The third abbot, Grandmaster Chikaku, had gone to China for 10 years to study the comparative superiority of exoteric and esoteric teachings from the eight great masters, as well as such Tendai masters as Kuangxu and Wai Chuan. He thought privately that the Shingon school was superior to the Tendai school and that his master Dengyo had studied the Shingon doctrine not very thoroughly, but only briefly during his short stay in China. So he fell victim to Pukung and those others, and he got corrupted. So upon returning to Japan, he built a great lecture hall called Soji-in to the west of the Shikan-in at the eastern tower section of the Enraku-ji Temple, enshrining in it the great Sun Buddha of the Diamond Realm Mandala as the most venerable one. In front of this great Sun Buddha, Grandmaster Chikaku wrote the commentaries to the Diamond Peak Sutra and the Sutra on the Act of Perfection, 7 facils each, altogether 14 facils, based on the venerable, guess who, Subhakarashima's commentary on the Great Sun Buddha Sutra. Remember that one? Actually, the Lotus Sutra is just, you know, it's the same sutra. It's just a particular portion of the sutra that's taught for, like, you know, smart people. But the real sutra is the Great Sun Buddha Sutra. That's what it actually is. Remember that big flip that just bends the mind? That's what he fell corrupted to. These commentaries can be summarized as follows. Quote, there are two kinds of Buddhism, exoteric and esoteric. The former is for those who are called three vehicles. That is to say, bodhisattvas, pratyekabuddhas, and sravakas. Remember that? It does not preach the perfect fusion of absolute truth and relative truth. Well, of course it does. The Lotus Sutra is all about that. The latter is the one vehicle teaching, single path to enlightenment, the Lotus Sutra, preaching the perfect fusion of absolute truth and relative truth. This esoteric Buddhism can be further divided into two categories. Such sutras as the Flower Garland, Great Wisdom, Vimalakirti, Lotus, and Nirvana belong to one group, which is esoteric only in doctrine. So here comes the corruption, right? These sutras preach the perfect fusion of absolute truth and the relative truth, but not the ritual aspects of the mantra words and the finger signs, mudras, and teach that. Well, yeah, because that's obsolete hogwash. Oh, but we're going to say that that's a deficiency. The second group consists of such sutras as none other than the Great Sun Buddha Sutra, Diamond Peak Sutra, and the Sutra on the Act of Perfection. We're going to bring back those old ineffectual teachings and make them what's missing out of these others. Yeah. These sutras preach not only the perfect fusion of the absolute truth and relative truth, but also ritualism of the mantras, words, and finger signs. Huge step backwards. That's the nature of corruption, right? Let's make the past more valuable than the present. Because in the past, it was great. It was always great. Till now. What? Who are you? What are you talking about? The main idea, Nichiren continues, in Jikaku's commentaries is that the comparison of the Lotus Sutra and the three canons of Shingon Buddhism shows that both preach the same 3,000 existences contained in one thought doctrine. No, they don't. But he's going to say they do. However, since the former lacks the ritual aspect of the finger signs and the words of spells and incantations, which the latter preaches, the Lotus Sutra is esoteric only. It's just a mind tickle. What if? While the three Shingon canons are esoteric in both doctrine and ritualism, because there's something physical to do. That makes it better. Hut! Therefore, the latter is incomparably superior to the former. Grandmaster Jikaku believed that what he wrote in his commentaries was not his personal opinion, but the heart of Subhakarashima's commentary to the Great Sun Buddha Sutra. Nevertheless, it seemed that he was not yet too sure or so sure about the comparative superiority of the Lotus and Shingon schools, or perhaps he was still trying to dispel the doubts about it raised by others, because others had to point this out. How could, you know, we let that go a long time ago. Why are you? So it is said in a biography of Grandmaster Jikaku, quote, after writing the commentaries to the two sutras, the Grand Master thought about whether or not they represented the Buddha's intention. Good question. Determining not to publish them unless they did. Placing them in front of the Buddha's statue, he prayed from the depths of his heart for 7 days and seven nights. You remember this story? The dream? At dawn on the fifth day, he dreamed he shot an arrow to the sun at noon, hit it, and the sun trembled. He realized from this dream that his commentaries represented the true intent of the Buddha and decided that they should be transmitted into posterity. What a wild decision. If I shot an arrow into the moon or the sun and the sun trembled, I wouldn't see that as an ominous sign that I was right. I would see that as an ominous sign that I was screwing with the wrong who wants the sun to tremble? But evidently his ego saw that as his power over the sun. Nichiren has talked about this story at length, so you can find that elsewhere on this channel. Grandmaster Jikaku, Nichiren continues, completely mastered both the exoteric teachings of Dengyo and esoteric Buddhism of Kobo in Japan. Moreover, he had stayed in China as long as 10 years to study Shingon Buddhism, the most secret of all esoteric teachings from the eight great masters and Tripitaka master Pao Hui of South India, among others. After completing the commentaries on the two Shingon Sutras, he again meditated to the most venerable one, Amida, asking whether or not they were acceptable. Then he had a dream which ended in an arrow of wisdom hitting the sun, representing the ultimate truth. Overjoyed with the dream, Jikaku requested and received imperial permission from Emperor Nimyo to publish his commentaries. Thus, he in effect converted from the head of the Tendai school to that of the Shingon school, propagating the three Shingon sutras for the tranquility of the nation. Since then, for more than 400 years, they have been studied by scholars as numerous as rice and hemp plants and worshipped by the people in crowds like bamboo forests and reed bushes. As a result, all the temples which had been built by Emperor Kamu and Grandmaster Dengyo all over Japan, without exception, have become Shingon temples. Both court nobles and warriors have invited Shingon monks to be their masters and appointed them to priest officers in charge of Buddhist temples. All eight schools of Buddhism in Japan have come to use the finger signs and mantras of the great Sun Buddha in the eye-opening ceremony for Buddhist wooden statues and portraits. Do I need to retell the writings of Shakyamuni that so often admonished his followers, don't follow me. Don't make images of me, statues of me. I'm not the source of Buddhahood. You are. Don't follow the person, follow the law. Myoho Renge Kyo, if you forgot what the law is. This is Shakyamuni teaching his whole life. Don't do this. And now in Japan, we have this corrupt idea coming from the Shingon sect that you can attain enlightenment, find enlightenment through worshiping this statue or this picture. What the heck happened? No, that's the antithesis of Shakyamuni's teachings. Next chapter, Evil Teachings of Grandmaster Chikaku. Now, why is Nichiren spending so much time on Chikaku and the Shingon? Obviously, because they had the correct teaching in hand. Dengyo had straightened all this out. But I guess he wasn't forceful enough in making that clear. He just sort of changed things toward the right again. And without establishing that this was the only correct way to practice Buddhism, other teachers after his extinction, his death, came along to usurp the same. They want to have that power. They want to be the new Dengyo or the new Tendai. It's all this ego, right? And this bastardization of the teachings that Shabakarashima created in order to infatuate his ego with the emperor and the people, his complete decimation of the correct teachings of the Lotus Sutra now has continuously fed the egos of later teachers. How lamentable, right? How easy it is to let the correct work of enlightenment be just turned into this lazy practice that goes nowhere. How is that more popular? Is it easier? Are people naturally lazy? How does this happen? Well, this is Nichiren's world. This is the context where Nichiren is saying, the emperor is freaking naked. Question, Nichiren asks, what should those who believe that the Lotus Sutra is superior to Shingon Buddhism do with this interpretation of Grandmaster Chikaku? Should they accept it or reject it? Come on, are you really asking that question? Nichiren knows people will. So his answer, concerning the judgment of the comparative superiority of the Buddhist sutras in the future, the Buddha preached in the Nirvana Sutra, here we go, rely upon reason, not upon men. Did you see that coming? Bodhisattva Nagarjuna stated in his commentary on the 10 stages, quote, it is right to depend on the sutra It is not right to depend. What? It is right to depend on the sutra. It is not right to depend on the sutra. I think that's got to be a misprint. Let's go on and see if we understand. I think that's. It is right to depend on the sutra. It is not right to depend. Am I reading that wrong? That's just a misprint. Tendai said, in the profound meaning of the Lotus Sutra, quote, accept what is in accordance with the sutra, not to believe in what is not said in the sutra, in letter or in spirit. Oh, that's interesting. It is not right not to depend on the sutra. Okay, so I'll reread Bodhisattva Nagarjuna said, it is right to depend on the sutra, in other words, the words of Shakyamuni Buddha. It is not right not to depend on the sutra. So I probably read that wrong. But the inference is that if it isn't in the written documents of Shakyamuni's sermons, then what are you doing following that? And Tendai follows up with the profound meaning of the Lotus Sutra saying, accept what is in accordance with the sutra. In other words, the meaning, the insights that you gain from Shakyamuni's teaching, not to believe in what is not said in the sutra, in a letter or in spirit. So if somebody starts espousing ideas that obviously aren't supported in the sutra, then don't spend time on that. It's outside of the scholarship, right? Grandmaster Dengyo, in his Outstanding Principles of the Lotus Sutra, said, quote, rely upon what the Buddha preached, never believe in what is transmitted orally. So this is a huge shift now, 2,000 years after the death of Shakyamuni. Because at that time, everything was spread orally through memorization, and that's the key. If it's memorized and repeated as memorized so that others can learn it, that's a consistency, isn't it? But by the time of Nichiren, people were espousing orally whatever the hell they wanted. They weren't memorizing and repeating, right? Copying, reciting, embracing the exhortations of the writings of Shakyamuni. They were doing their own thing. We already read Chikaku, before Chikaku, that what was correct was what I have wrote. That was the Zen priest, right? I am superior to Buddha because look what I wrote, which obviously isn't the Buddha's words or Shakyamuni's words, right? And specifically in Buddhist scholarship says, don't do that. And as I said before, if you want to write something that says you're superior to Buddha, then at least claim that as your own. Don't then say that it's your better understanding of Buddhism. It's not Buddhism. By definition, it isn't Buddhism. Nichiren pointed this out over and over again. According to these sutras, Nichiren continues, commentaries and interpretations, we should not depend upon such things as dreams. Oh, I dreamt I shot the sun and it was trembling, so I'm right. What? Again, mysticism. Just what we need is a sutra directly comparing the superiority of the Lotus Sutra and the Great Sun Buddha Sutra. Yeah, the answer's there, right? Let's go look. Shakyamuni Buddha declared in the Lotus Sutra that of all sutras, the Lotus is the prime sutra, the one vehicle, and that it is the king of sutras. No such statement can be found in the Great Sun Buddha Sutra. However, it is strange to say that it is impossible to perform the eye-opening ceremony for Buddhist wooden statues and portraits without finger signs and mantras of the Shingon Buddhism. Had not there been the ceremony for opening the eyes of wooden statues and portraits prior to the emergence of the Shingon Buddhism? Although there had been such miracles as Buddhist wooden statues and portraits walking, preaching, or speaking in India, in China, and Japan prior to the time of Shingon Buddhism, there have been no such miracles ever since the eye-opening ceremony began to be conducted with finger signs and mantras of Shingon Buddhism. It's a little weird statement. We'll figure out what that means. This is what I have been telling you always. However, regarding the concentration of Grandmaster Chikaku, that Shingon teaching, contention of Grandmaster Chikaku, that Shingon teaching is superior to that of the Lotus Sutra, it is not necessary for me to cite distinctive proof. It's so obvious. We have only to believe in what he said in his commentaries. Grandmaster Chikaku's own words proves his fallacy. He was just too ignorant and self-involved. He couldn't see how his words in themselves contradict his entire contention, right? Question, how should we understand him? And I'm asking, why should you understand him? He's deluded, but okay. How should we understand him? Obviously, still a lot of people attached to this history having a hard time letting it go. His answer, Nichiren's answer, Grandmaster Chikaku, having had such a dream, was due to his preconception that Shingon Buddhism was superior to the Lotus Sutra. Duh. If his dreams were auspicious, Shingon Buddhism might be superior as the Grandmaster judged. However, is a dream of shooting the sun auspicious? I wish to see any proof, if there is any, in Buddhist scriptures, over 5,000 or 7,000 scrolls, or in 3,000 odd scrolls of non-Buddhist scriptures, showing that the dream of shooting the sun is a good omen. Is there any reference in our history of Lotus or non-Lotus, Buddhist or non-Buddhist? Is there any evidence of shooting the sun with an arrow as being some kind of auspicious sign? As you can tell from all of our readings of Gosho and Sutra, the lineage aspect of teachings is incredibly important. So when you say something, how do you back it up? Where is that, like the storytelling of expedient means, always using extant awareness built of history, cultural realities, and seeing them through a new lens, the lens of Buddha. Many things are answered, right? So this shooting the sun, where's the history of that? In other words, questioning, how does Chikaku not have this dream, but judge that this dream is somehow auspicious, and then invents his own meaning for it, right? So on what basis is this a good omen? Nichiren continues, if I may, I will show some proof contradicting this. When King Ajatasattu dreamed of the moon falling from the sky, his minister Jivaka predicted the death of the Buddha. Subhadra dreamed of the sun falling from the sky and foretold the death of the Buddha. In battle against Indra, the Asura demons at first shot the sun and moon. So he's citing examples of the sun and moon, but all of them are incredibly negative. King Qie of Xia and King Chao of Yin, wicked rulers of the ancient China, destroyed themselves and lost their kingdoms by shooting the sun. Those are omens, but none of them are good. Queen Maya gave birth to Prince Siddhartha after dreaming she was pregnant with the sun. So the Buddha's infant name was Sun Seed. This country is called Japan, meaning the origin of the sun, because goddess Amaterasu, the founder of Japan, is the goddess of the sun, right? The land of the rising sun, Japan. Therefore, the dream of Jikaku meant that his commentaries of the two Shingon Sutras were the arrow that shot through Goddess Amaterasu, Grandmaster Dengyo, Shakyamuni, and the Lotus Sutra. A great omen of destruction. I, Nichiren, am an ignorant fool who does not know anything about sutras and commentaries. Nevertheless, I know for sure that those who insist because of such a dream like this that Shingon Buddhism is superior to the Lotus Sutra would destroy their country and lose their houses in this life and fall into the hell of incessant suffering. In other words, you don't have to be as studied as me. You don't have to have studied your whole life as I have to become a scholar of Buddhism. Don't rely on my opinion, but even I, as a common stupid mortal, can see that Jikaku's dream, had he had that dream, let's just take him at his word, was incredibly motivated by his ego and his misreading of things, totally corrupted, in order to see that dream as a positive, with all the evidence showing that such dreams are lead to nothing but destruction, for him to say that it validated him, wow. Yeah? Factual proof of Shingon as the cause of the nation's destruction. Now we're getting to the root of the matter. And I've gone on long enough on this video, so we'll get to this. Which goes back to earlier talks from Nichiren on how we just finished a sutra or a gosho on how to protect the nation through our practice. Remember, I told you that through our self-realization and our influence on others to make self-realization, we affect the entire realm that we live in. Ergo the nation, ergo the community, ergo the family, right? Friends, so on and so forth. Our right-minded enlightenment affects our entire environment. So now he's going to demonstrate, after all of this elocution on the mistakes and the corruption that has existed in Japan in Buddhism for hundreds of years, why Japan finds itself in such dire moments. Starvation, weather, earthquakes, invasion from outside countries. Why do you think that's happening? It's not because we're puny and we just look like a target. We've made ourselves a target of sorts by corrupting Buddhism. Not being ignorant of Buddhism, as I said earlier, we have the scholarship of Buddhism. But somehow, the ego and arrogance of the leaders of Japan have fostered the corruption of Buddhism for their own edification. And yet, look what's happening to the country of Japan. It's no mistake. He's tying them together. So, that'll be an interesting read. But for us, you and me, what does that mean? What value does it to have studied this gosho and this kind of thinking in Buddhism? Well, how many of you have asked yourselves or asked me, how do I get rid of this tremendous emotional burden in my life? How do I surmount these obstacles in my life? Forget Buddhism. Maybe you're a parent struggling with a child. Maybe you're a child struggling with your parents. Maybe you're just another human struggling with all sorts of relationships or your ability to subsist. Whatever your challenges are, do you see that those challenges are from your environment? Some of you have crises in your own mind. But remember that your own mind is a duality. There is the samsaric mind that is attached, that is avarice for containing, owning. Right? Hanging on to. Fear of losing. Fear of not having enough. All of the stress and anxiety. This is what Buddhism was established for. So, whatever your situation, whether it's personal, in your own mind, or in your environs in any way, which is still personal in your own mind, but even if you don't see it that way, the answer is always the same. Get a Nichiren inscribed mandala, enshrine it with respect, and then set about with conviction to change your situation. And how do you do that? The Daimoku. I am here. My samsaric mind is here. And my mind is open in order to instantiate this amazing truth so that I can experience it cellularly. Namu myoho renge kyo. Namu myoho renge kyo. The more you do it, the more you challenge it, the more you demand of your instantiation of Buddha, the more the world will clear, the more things will change. I don't know what your karma will require to accomplish that change, but you need to be at the ready, mu. You need to be paying attention and going through it head on. With the complete conviction, and this is the important part, you need to know that you're going to bust through it. You can't enter into this practice concerned about every symbol or sign or omen or blah, blah, blah that frightens you. No, your confidence comes from chanting. Namo myoho renge kyo. I cannot be hurt by this. I will break through whatever it is that is hanging on to me like little hooks, fish hooks to the ground, to my samsaric thingifying. Whatever I need to rip apart and get rid of to never see again. And never affect anything else in that realm. And release myself. Myself. No one does it for me. Buddha doesn't do it for me. Buddha is me. And when I understand and I accept and I integrate Buddha in me, then these things have no, they start to break apart on their own. It's like a great, it's like a great weeding tool. The stuff just wilts away. And the result is I'm no longer encumbered by these things. And so unencumbered, I experience life fully. I'm so accustomed to working through life, struggling against all these forces that we're instantiating all on our own. But we don't get that. That when we practice with conviction to instantiate Buddha in our lives, these things start to get out of the way and life lightens. It becomes more enjoyable, less stressful. Oh my goodness, this practice actually works. I feel it, I see it, I understand it. I'm experiencing it. No other practice has this kind of actual proof, but the proof is in your experience. Yeah? Namo myoho renge kyo. Thank you, Nichiren. Thank you, Shakyamuni. Thank you for participating. Like or dislike, whatever you felt about this, let me know. But either way, please subscribe so that we can continue this dialogue. Let's achieve that personal revolution in mind that destroys these little tendrils of suffering, and just that we can climb out of that mental state, right? That mental state of, what does Nietzsche call it? The hell of incessant suffering. That's what that is. Let's climb away from that. Let's get released from that and experience life totally amazing. If you can, become a patron, support this Sangha through the Patreon site, or directly through, paypal.me/SifuSylvain. If you're not in a position to do that occasionally or regularly, again, liking, subscribing, sharing these videos. The sharing part is our bodhisattva work. How easy is that? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I'll see you in the next one. I'll be there. I hope you are too. Bye for now.